This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll begin this week with Jeff Regan, investigator, and his story from August 21st, 1948, The Man Who Came Back. After that, it's 21st Precinct and The Fire Escape, their episode from January 26th, 1955.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon, Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Man Who Came Back.
This is the way it started. It was a hot Tuesday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. Melody was sitting at her typewriter watching a tired-looking fly crawl across the ceiling. She didn't say a word, just waved an arm in the direction of his door.
Certainly we will, Mr. Brondyke. Absolutely. Certainly. Yes, of course. Come in, Lee. Yes, yes. All right, Mr. Brondyke. Yes, you'll be there in an hour. All right, half an hour. Goodbye. Regan, you're it.
I'm what?
Here's his address. Name's Elmer Brondyke. He has a real estate office in Altadena. Check came by a special messenger half an hour ago. It was late, but the bank tells me it's good. So you're it.
You know, that's what I like, efficiency.
It's too hot to be funny. I want you to hop out there and see what he's excited about.
Didn't he tell you?
Yeah, he's one of those nasty old coots. He didn't make much sense on the phone. Something about someone coming back. Besides, his teeth were slipping around.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's a job. Business has been terrible lately.
You know, I still want my expenses on that Tartaglia thing.
Have you ever come up short with me?
Yes, I have.
You'll get all that's coming to you.
When?
As soon as Melody gets a bill from that hospital, because that's coming out of your check. Now, beat it out there and find out what this guy wants and call me if you run into any trouble.
Brondyke Manor was a brown-white cottage on the edge of 10 acres of dusty land in back of Foothill Drive. There was a big sign right in front of it telling you how easy it is to own your own land and have your own home on Brondyke Estate. Well, I parked across the highway, and it was just about then that a big, heavy-set man wearing a dirty white Panama hat and a suit that didn't fit him around the stomach crawled out of a 36 Ford sedan, jammed a cigar in his mouth, and came over to my car. He had hair in his ears.
Yeah, hot afternoon, ain't it? Yes, sir, sure is hot. Sure is a hot afternoon.
Yeah, it is if you spend it sitting in a car pulling on a bottle.
Smell it, huh?
Mile away.
Just trying to beat the heat.
Okay, you've been parked in the car beating the heat.
Yeah, you win. Ain't much good trying to look like a guy who wants to buy a house.
Yeah. Who do you look like?
Yeah, it's a little greasy, but it's me.
Marty Anderson, confidential investigation.
Guess I ought to have new ones printed up, huh?
All right, you're a sleuth. How's business, Marty?
Bunk.
Too bad.
You going in to see old man Brondyke?
Your nose is getting sunburned, Marty.
I was just going to go and see myself when I spot you pull up. Recognize you from pictures in the paper last week on that Tartaglia thing. I figured maybe you and me ought to talk.
Yeah.
Hey, you make it tough for a guy, Regan. We're in the same racket. What you going to see him about?
You said you were going in to see him.
Well, I kind of changed my mind when I seen you.
This is where I came in.
Ah, you're a tough guy, Regan. You're a real tough guy, and a lot of people know it. But Marty Anderson's betting you're a dumb guy, too. A real dumb guy.
Mm-hmm. See you around, Marty.
I'm an old conk, huh? A fat old slob who couldn't get a trick as a housekeeper or a tail in a punk, is that it?
Well, don't get too close. That's a real bad label you got a hold of.
Okay, Regan, okay. You're young and tough, but you just keep my card, wise guy. You'll want to see me. You'll want to see me before it's all tied up.
Mr. Brondyke, please. Elmer Brondyke, he's expecting me.
Your name, please.
Regan.
Mr. Regan. R-E-G-A-N.
No, you don't have to write it down, lady.
And your business?
Private.
I'll say I'll have to know a little more than that, Mr. Regan.
It's always this hot in here.
Yes, and I'm sick and tired.
Now, look, just flip this switch and tell him I'm here, will you? He sent for me.
Wait a minute, please.
Well, what is it, Connie?
There's a Mr. Regan here, Dad. He says he's expected. I don't find him listed on your appointment book.
Don't be an idiot. Send him in. Send him in.
Let me go in now, Mr. Regan.
Yeah, thanks. Is he always like that?
Most of the time. Other times he's bad.
High blood pressure?
He's got it high, low, and in between. I hate him.
A winner, huh? I'm sorry, Connie. That is your name, isn't it?
Go on in before I quit.
Don't just stand there. Come on in and shut the door. What took you so long? Now, you're Jeff Regan, huh? You don't look much like a private detective to me. Sit down. Where'd I put that thing?
Over there by the inkwell.
What? Oh. Well. Now then, Regan. About this Collier. He's a no-good tramp. Do you understand that? A no-good tramp. I'll see that he goes right back up to Sam Quentin if I have to. I'm a dangerous man to play games with. He found that out once, and if he keeps up this business, he's going to find it out again.
All right. You're dangerous. He's a no-good tramp, Sam Quentin.
Say, are you mocking me?
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering what you're talking about.
I just told you everything. You got a ear? Can't you hear?
I don't hear anything but a lot of blubbering, and that doesn't make any sense.
You two big gumshoes!
Look, Connie told me all about your high blood pressure. You better watch that.
She did she? Well, Connie talks too much. That's what's the matter with her. She talks too much.
Oh, sure, and you'd fire her, only she's your daughter, and you'd have to pay somebody else three times what you pay her to take everything she has to take.
Get out of here! Get out of my office! Get out! Get out! Okay. Never mind. Sit down. Hot. Heat always gets me.
Yeah, me too. Now, do you want to tell me about it?
He's an ungrateful scoundrel.
Who?
Toby Collier! Who else? Why, I took that boy in as my junior partner in Brondike Estates when he was nothing more than a car washer in a filling station. And how does he repay me?
Hey, you're letting the heat bother you again.
No, it isn't the heat, Regan, I'll tell you that. It's those phone calls. Phone calls telling me to beware and watch out. A lot of other nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting close.
They let him out of San Quentin last week. You'd think he'd go somewhere where people didn't know him and wash cars again or something. But no. He has to start telephoning my office and telling me he's back and that he's going to get me.
What was he doing in San Quentin?
2 to 10 on an embezzlement count.
How long ago was that?
3 years ago. I guess he got time off or something.
Why is he sore at you?
I had to testify against him. It was my firm. He was chiseling.
So now he's out of the clink and he's fooling you and trying to throw a scare on you, huh?
He may be out, but he isn't scaring me or anybody else, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I want you to find him, wherever he is. Bring him here.
All right.
And then I want to tell him like I'm telling you. If he keeps bothering me with those phone calls, if he persists in threatening me, then I'll haul out some stuff I have in my safety deposit box and send him back up there on a swindling rat just to get him out of my hair.
You withheld evidence at that trial?
I withheld nothing. Just be a new charge. I could make it stick if I wanted to.
All right, tell me the rest of it.
What do you mean, tell you the rest of it? No more to tell. He's a punk. He's gonna get in trouble.
Where'd Marty Anderson figure?
What?
Anderson, Marty. Confidential investigations. Big, dirty-looking ape who shaves every other day.
Oh. That rumpus. How'd you know about him?
He tried to shake me down outside your office.
He would. Yeah, he's a second-rate gum heel I called in 3 years ago when I thought Collier might be fixing my books. I think it's the only job he ever had. He's been pestering me ever since.
Did he testify against Collier?
Of course he testified against Collier. That was part of his job. Is there anything else you want to know?
Yes, there is. Why'd you call International instead of the police?
You're pretty nosy, aren't you?
I'm a lot of things. Now, come on, why?
Because every time you call a cop around this town, there's always some snoopy reporter hanging around the sergeant's desk. I got $500,000 tied up in this here gravel pit. I don't want anybody who's going to buy into it thinking that I might get knocked over by some loony. That's why I want it all quiet. Does that satisfy you?
Well, it'll do for now. You'll probably come up with something better later on.
Are you done?
All right, where's Collier?
If I knew, I wouldn't have called you in.
You have a family here, home, a wife, something?
He was all alone. He had a mother somewhere, I guess.
Pictures?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep these.
When am I going to hear from you?
When I find something.
You bring him to me.
I'll ask him to come. He doesn't have to.
You just spring that swindling rap on him. He'll come.
Yeah, and if it's no good, he can turn right around and slap a slander suit right in your face, and I wouldn't blame him.
Don't you forget you're working for me, young man.
No, I won't.
Regan... Regan, you You've got a nasty way of talking. People don't talk to me like that.
Yeah, well, this is a brand new crowd of people, Frosty Top, and we talk just like we feel. Down at the city hall, they didn't have anything on Toby Collier, except that he'd been released from San Quentin August 10th. From there, I went to the parole board office, but it was closed by that time. So I did the next best thing, and I sent a wire to the officer in charge of parole prisoners, San Quentin, asking for Collier's address. Then I dropped into the Times office, and I looked up the story of the trial. It was a page 3 item for 2 days, a second section filler for a week. After that, nothing. There were no pictures. But it did give the name of Collier's lawyer, a man named Alan Nordale. The phone book gave him an address over on Kingsley.
That you, Millie? Hold on just a minute. I was just trying to get my dinner over before you shut. Who are you?
Mr. Nordale?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my name is Regan. I'm a private investigator. I'm trying to locate a former client of yours, a man named Toby Collier.
Well, come in. I was expecting Millie, but come in.
Thank you.
I always fix my own dinner, poached egg and half. I have ulcers. Name's Regan?
Yeah.
You want an egg?
No, thanks.
You mind if I finish?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. What's what with Toby Collier?
Well, I'm just trying to locate him, that's all. Mm-hmm. I found out that you were his lawyer. He was released from San Quentin 10 days ago.
Yes. You sure you won't have an ache? You get used to him after a while. Who do you work for, Regan?
International Detective Bureau.
The line's still there?
Yeah.
Well, so you're the line's eye, huh?
Yeah.
Lyons is a bandit. But whose case?
Elmer Brondike.
Mm-hmm. And what you want Toby for?
Ball him out for making threatening phone calls.
That all?
As far as I know.
Toby was a nice kid, but a calendar job. Born with one war going, one depression on deck, and a new war starting. Makes a difference. The calendar got him.
And he wound up in San Quentin.
Well, everything was against him at the trial, too. He was pretty mad at old man Brondike and that private dick, and me and everyone else before it was all over. I tried to talk to him.
From what Brondike tells me, he's still mad.
Yeah, I did all I could, but he didn't have a chance, see? Tried to lift a lousy couple $1,000, and they caught him. Well, he's out now.
You handle his parole?
No.
You know who did?
No.
You don't know where he is in town?
No.
Well, Brondike said he had a mother.
No.
Okay, I'll leave you to Millie.
Yeah. If we play records, Millie used to be a violinist. Sorry, I'm no help. Regan, if you find Toby, I'd like to see him.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I just want to see what 3 years in the pen does to a man like that.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Where are you now? Did you find Collier?
I'm calling from home.
Home? What about Collier?
I didn't find him yet.
Well, get busy. What are you waiting for?
A telegram, morning, couple of things.
Listen, this old schmo is plenty tough, and if he thought you were local...
Look, it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm tired. There's nothing I can do till tomorrow morning.
He's sore as a shave pup about all this, and especially about you. Phoned up and said you call him a lot of names.
He is a lot of names.
I don't care what he is. You don't talk to a client like that. Besides, I haven't cashed his check. Now go on out and find that guy and get this thing settled. Good night, Regan.
Besides, I haven't cashed his check. Well, I just set down the phone and started at the door when it happened. Connie Brondike was standing there, and she didn't waste any time. She didn't say a word, just pulled the trigger. First three brought down plaster on the ceiling. The fourth one ruined the shoulder on my suit. The fifth gave me a haircut. I made a grab for it and I missed. I took the empty gun in my face. Next thing I knew, she pulled off one of those high spike heels and raised it above my head. I tried to stop her, but my arms wouldn't work. And that's all I remember.
You are listening to the story of the man who came back. Tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. They're still available for qualified nurses. Yes, the Army Nurse Corps Reserve still has commissions available. If you are a graduate registered nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps section of the Regular Officers Reserve. Those who meet the high standards and qualify to serve with this fine organization may elect active or inactive status. Nurses requesting inactive status will continue with civilian nursing, but stand ready to serve in time of emergency. In addition, they have the opportunity to take advantage of special training courses. Nurses who request active status enjoy the same privilege of all other officers. Graduate work is provided at the Army's most modern teaching centers, and the nurses obtain educational experience that benefits them in both civilian and military nursing. If you believe you qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to the story of the man who came back, and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Oh, yeah, Connie had done a real good job. 6 to 5, I'd never get there before it stopped ringing.
All right, all right.
Hello?
Regan, is that you?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Did I get you up?
Something like that.
This is Marty Anderson.
Yeah. You wash your face yet?
Still feeling tough, huh? I thought maybe we could talk now.
Yeah. What made you think that?
You're looking for Collier, ain't you? I know where he is.
Yeah?
Want to talk?
Where?
My place. On my card.
All right.
I'll wait for you, tough guy. Bring some money. This is going to cost you.
Everything's going to cost me. Bring some money. Yeah, 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 I'm fine.
I told you it was all right. I had to go.
I was real hurt. I thought I heard some shots, and I see this one jumping down the stairs like he had a good homicide somewhere. You sure you're all right?
Stop on me. Get your hands off me.
All right, Jake, let her go. Let her go. She's a friend of mine.
You said it's all right. Hey, you're bleeding. Look at the plaster. Who them was shot?
I thought they were shot. You let...
Jake, let her go, will you?
Oh,
huh?
Sure.
I was cleaning a gun.
Oh, cleaning a gun. Funny time to clean a car, 10 o'clock at night.
Well, I do a lot of funny things. Come up and have a drink sometime, will you, Jake?
Okay, Mr. Regan, okay.
Good night. Oh, no, you don't, lady. Stay right where you are. No, we're going to talk.
You hurt my arm.
I'll rough you up good if I have to. Now, come on.
I only wanted my pictures.
Oh, save it, lady.
I didn't have any right to give them to you. They were mine. Have done that.
So you come over to get him, and you take 5 shots at me and slam a gun in my face. Why don't you finish the job with your heel?
I couldn't do it. I was going through your wallet looking for the pictures. I saw your license. The private detective. You're looking for Toby, aren't you? That's why you had the pictures. You're looking for Toby.
Collier, your boyfriend?
Yeah, we were going to get married.
Only he went to the pen, huh?
The pictures. That's all I had left of him.
He didn't write?
No.
You know he's out now.
Yeah?
Has he gotten in touch with you?
Why should he? He thinks I was in on it.
In on what?
The whole dirty, rotten thing. Toby was framed. Dad hired that Marty Anderson to help him do it.
How do you know he was framed?
I've been working for my dad for 5 years. I see things.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
That's the truth.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's full of the truth. All the liars are dead.
Look at me. Go ahead and look at me, Mr. Regan. I'm not what you'd call beautiful. I ain't even pretty. I'm tall and gorgeous. No man would ever look at me twice. Toby looked at me. He loved me. But what are you going to do to him when you find him?
Well, he's been threatening your father on the phone. I'm just going to take him there.
Yeah, would you bring him to me first? Would you let me talk to him?
Why?
Because I... Maybe I can hold him in my arms and make him forget all his hate and everything he's gone through. Maybe he'll still love me. We can go away together and get married. You know where he is. Can you find him tonight?
Maybe.
You gonna help him, mate?
I gotta see a man.
Guess I went kind of crazy tonight, and I don't know. I've been thinking about him so much lately.
Yeah. Well, next time, give me a little thought, will you? Good night, lady. Well, Marty Anderson's office was a dirty room hanging over a shoe repair shop on Sunset near Alvarado. You could tell it belonged to him. The glass on the door hadn't been washed for 10 years. He didn't answer when I knocked, so I tried my keys on the door. The third one worked. Inside, it smelled like a pile of wet gunny sand. The only light was kind of a thick green from a neon sign going on and off outside the window. There was an old army cot in one corner, and right in front of the window, a big black roll-top desk and a cracked leather chair. He was sitting there looking at the neon light he couldn't see anymore. One dirty hand was on top of a scratch pad near the phone, and the other was inside his coat. When I pulled it out, it was covered with blood and the rest of a pint of cheap whiskey. I found a .38 cartridge case on the floor. He didn't have anything in his pockets except some keys and a plug of chewing tobacco. There wasn't anything in the desk drawers either. When I started to call homicide, I had to move his hand. The name Collier was written on the scratch pad, and there was an address to go with it.
Police Department, 24.
Extension 2521, please.
Homicide, Chandler.
Lieutenant Wendetti.
Off tonight. Who's calling?
All right, take this down, Sergeant. Shoe shop, Sunset near Alvarado.
Yeah?
One flight up.
Yeah?
Office. Belongs to a private detective named Marty Anderson.
Yeah.
Got all that?
Yeah.
He's dead.
What? Hey, who is...
The Santa Monica fog was all over Flower Street on the 1300 block south. The streetlight didn't do much good. Just kind of hung around and watched everything get wet. I used a half a pack of matches finding my address.
Out kind of late tonight, aren't you, Pilgrim? What'll it be?
Toby Collier here?
He was here.
All right, I'll wait.
He ain't gonna be here no more.
You a friend of his?
Never met the guy.
Yeah.
It's midnight, beat it.
All right, wait a minute.
Oh, like that, huh?
Any way you want it.
I'm gonna do you a favor. I'm gonna tell you something.
All right, Santa Claus.
Before I turn night watcher, they call me the Candy Kid. 6'4", pound of 200, 300. It'd be assault with a deadly weapon if I slapped you in the mush, but you're tempting me.
All right, wait a minute.
Being a night watcher ain't slowed me down, though.
All right, now maybe this will. I just came from Marty Anderson.
So what?
He's dead.
So what, what?
And in about a half an hour, the cops are going to be here looking for Toby Collier.
Yeah? Well, they can just dig him up and talk all they want.
Dig him up?
Are you blind or drunk or something? This outfit buried him this afternoon. This is a mortuary.
Well, when I got home, she wasn't there, but a telegram was there. It was a long answer from San Quentin telling me how Collier had been brought to Los Angeles on a stretcher and the hospital that he was in, and a lot of other things. It took me 20 minutes to get out to Aladino, but I was too late. Well, her aim was a lot better this time. By the time I got through the door, the old man had dropped his gun and was kind of hanging onto a piece of drapery by the window.
Connie, get your mother. There, get...
Turned into a real Annie Oakley, haven't you?
Good to see him like that. Real good.
You want to give me that gun? It's empty.
Sure, why not? He had it coming for a long time.
You read my telegram?
I read it. And I phoned the hospital and they told me Toby was dead. Bad heart. Wasn't that bad heart that killed Toby? It was him. He killed him.
You don't have to make those faces. They don't make him any deader.
You think I'm nuts, don't you?
No, I'm not a lawyer, lady. You can plead any way you want.
Well, I'll never tell it to a court.
Don't bet on that.
You aren't such a bad guy, I'll tell it to you.
All of it?
How many tramps you met in your life, Regan? Real tramps.
Some just thought they were tramps.
Well, you met the genuine product today. Take him. For 10 years, he's been packing away money. When the income tax people got close, he goes out and he finds Toby in a filling station.
And makes him a junior partner.
Yeah, works an embezzlement fame up that makes Toby the fall guy.
That way, he doesn't have to straighten out any books.
Tramp number one. Genuine, huh? And then there's number two, a private dick named Marty Anderson. Pig.
Well, he's dead. Somebody shot him tonight.
Yeah, he did it. The only decent thing he ever did in his life. Marty was in on it. He testified against Toby in court.
But Marty wanted money.
All the time till the old man killed him.
And it was supposed to look like Toby.
Only Toby was dead. Yeah. Toby was dead, and he couldn't kill anybody.
When you find out about Toby, you come back and you do some shooting yourself, don't you?
You killed Toby.
At the morgue, they told me it was his heart.
Heart, soul, everything that made him. He was on a hospital ward all the time. He was just... He'd only written and told me.
All right. Come on.
He's going to take me down.
Yeah.
Don't make no difference now.
This Toby, you must have loved the guy.
I should not have died for him.
Yeah, lady, I guess you will. Well, that's the way it came out. Brondike killed Marty Anderson because Marty was trying to tell me what he knew about Collier's trial. Oh, Marty was a lousy private detective making those phone calls and trying to make Brondike think it was Collier. Well, the lion was mad because I phoned homicide and then ran away. He said it'd give the agency a bad name. And then he began talking the way he does.
Funny thing about all this, Regan, those two going for each other.
Yeah.
She was nothing to look at. Him? He was a smart guy.
He wound up in prison, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was a smart guy. He was just framed.
Not many smart guys get framed.
What do you mean?
I mean, Collier sold out to Brondike, and then he made the frame deal.
How do you know?
Collier left a will.
You think they'd have made a go of it? I mean, gotten married or something if all this hadn't happened?
Nope.
Why not? She went for him, and he went for her. Say, he didn't serve much time on a 2-10 rap. He must have had a smart lawyer.
No, you mean doctor.
What?
He had a heart condition. He was dying.
And they paroled him?
They let him out to die.
Well, they do things like that?
Sometimes.
No wonder he didn't write that name. Yeah, what do you know about that?
Nothing. You work on it. I'm tired. Good night.
Are you a registered graduate nurse? Do you know someone who is? Then please listen carefully to this important message. 29,000 nurses are needed to join the new Army Nurse Corps Officers Reserve. For the first time in history, qualified nurses are given the opportunity of receiving a commission in the regular Army Reserve. These nurses will remain on inactive status, ready to serve their country in the event of an emergency. 4,000 of them, if they wish, may choose active duty. All nurses who receive reserve commissions will benefit from the opportunity for specialized training offered to them by the Army. Inactive reserve status will not interfere with a nurse's civilian life, but the educational opportunities offered her by the Army Medical Department will be of great advantage to her in her work. So don't wait. If you're a registered graduate nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, drop a card now for complete information to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Jack Webb is starred as Jeff Regan, with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. The role of Connie Brondike was played by Betty Lou Gerson. Jeff Regan is written by E. Jack Newman, produced by Sterling Tracy, with original music by Dick Arant. It's CBS same time next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. If you like mystery, you'll be able to find out what makes a mystery when you find that clue with Mystery Man Ken Crossan and other famous mystery experts on most of these CBS stations Monday night at 8:30. Remember, find that clue, CBS Monday night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
21st Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Yeah? Well, who is it, his wife? Do they live there? Well, can't somebody stop him from beating her up? What's the address there? Yeah. Yeah.
You are in the muster room at the 21st Precinct, the nerve center. A call is coming through. You will follow the action taken pursuant to that call from this minute until the final report is written in the 124 room at the 21st Precinct.
All right. I'll send the officers right over there. Yeah, don't worry about it. They'll be right there.
21st Precinct. It's just lines on a map of the city of New York. Most of the 173,000 people wedged into the 9/10 of a square mile between Fifth Avenue and the East River wouldn't know if you asked them that they lived or worked in the 21st. Whether they know it or not, the security of their homes, their persons, and their property is the job of the men of the 21st Precinct.
The 21st, 160 patrolmen, 11 sergeants, and 4 lieutenants, of whom I'm the boss. My name is Kennelly, Frank Kennelly. I'm captain in command of the 21st. I was working my night tour, 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. After midnight, 33 patrolmen were assigned to regular posts, which they walked on foot. 10 others were assigned as operators and recorders in the precinct's 5 sector cars. These men were under the direct supervision of 3 sergeants. Sergeant Tierney on telephone switchboard duty in the station house, Sergeant Rosen on foot in congested districts, and Sergeant Waters on radio motor patrol in a sergeant's car operated by Patrolman Mercado. The sergeants were directly responsible to Lieutenant Gorman, the desk officer on the job. One of the functions of the sergeant on radio motor patrol is to respond to every call within the confines of the precinct broadcast by the Manhattan Communications Bureau. The reason for this is twofold: to provide adequate supervision at the scene of an occurrence, and to ensure the immediate response of sufficient manpower in the event the occurrence is of a more serious nature than the original call to the police indicated. At 8.05 p.m., a radio call was broadcast for sector car number 3, a disturbance in the hallway at 762 East 74th Street, a 4-story old law tenement. As sometimes happens, the sergeant's car was closer to the scene and the first to arrive in the block.
Next to the end of the block down there.
Yes, sir. It doesn't look like there's much to it, Sergeant.
Supposed to be inside the hall.
Okay. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
I don't see anything.
Come on.
Nothing.
Lady? Yes, it was me.
What's the trouble?
Him, the crazy one, third floor to the rear.
Yeah?
He was beating her and kicking her and pulling her up the stairs.
Who?
His wife, the poor thing.
It's all quiet now. He must have settled it.
Oh, he probably settled it by killing her. That's how he settled it. He's crazy. He's crazy enough to kill her.
What's their name?
Gerard. Mr. and Mrs. Gerard. He never seen anything like the way he beats up that poor woman.
Did any of the other neighbors hear this?
Oh, I don't know whether they did or not. I don't know whether they care, even. All I know is that I'm tired of it, sick and tired of it. He comes home crazy and beats her to an inch of her life. Tonight in the hall. Bad enough in their own flat, but tonight you have to do it in the hall.
There's only one flat in the rear and the third floor?
Yes, that's all. Just one apartment. He ought to be locked up for good, that man. Or better, sent back to the insane asylum. That's where he belongs.
Was he there?
Well, I wouldn't say a thing like that if he wasn't. Oh, he's that way, all right. He don't like my cat. I think he poisoned one once. I think he poisoned Cynthia. I swear it was him.
Yeah. Well, it seems to have quieted down now, but we'll go up and talk to him.
Ask him if he didn't poison Cynthia. I bet he denies it. I just bet he does.
What's your name, lady?
Mrs. Escher. Mrs. Helen Escher. E-S-H-E-R. He had no business poisoning Cynthia. No business at all.
All right, Mrs. Escher. You get back inside and we'll take care of it.
You send him back to that insane asylum now. That's where he belongs. You send him back there.
All right, just close the door. We'll see you in a minute.
I will, but don't you forget. You too, young man.
We won't forget.
All right, if you promise.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be a great debate who's the psycho in this case, Sergeant.
Yeah. Put your light on the mailbox there.
Yes, sir.
Well, she's got the right name. Gerard. Third floor rear. Let's see what they have to say.
Hey, you know something, Sergeant? I don't think that cat was poisoned at all. I think it committed suicide.
Yeah. Maybe you've got a point.
Sergeant!
Who is it?
Calling in my suit, Sergeant.
All right. Doesn't look like there's anything much to it. Stay down there.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Oh, watch those roller skates. Well, that's a good way to get your neck broken. Kids leaving skates in a dark hole.
Yeah. Okay.
The baby carriages are bad enough, but at least you can't miss seeing the baby carriage.
That's it, I guess.
Yes, sir. It's quiet in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Mrs. Usher's probably got an oversized imagination.
Oh, there's someone.
Who is it?
Mr. Gerard?
Yes?
We're police officers. We want to talk to you.
About what?
I can't yell in the hall. Open the door.
No, I'm not going to open the door.
Now, listen. There's a complaint. You were causing a disturbance in the hall. We want to get it straightened out. Open the door.
You better go away and leave me alone.
Where's your wife? Is she in there?
Just go away, will you please?
Is your wife in there with you?
I'm warning you now. Go away.
Look, Mr. Gerard.
Go away. Get out. I'm telling you.
Man. They against the wall. Come on up here, Coley. Leave Meister there.
Yes, sir. I want you to go away. Go away right now.
Mr. Mercado.
You've got to go away.
Yes, sir.
Go on downstairs and ring in. Tell him we got a psycho with a gun here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Send Meister through the basement or around the building to get into the rear courtyard. I want to make sure this guy doesn't go out the window back there. I'll get going.
Okay, sir.
Mr. Gerard.
You better go away. I mean it.
Was that shooting up there?
That sure was.
What do you say about coming out here and talking, Mr. Gerard?
Oh, no. Nothing doing.
What have we got, Sergeant?
Stay close to the wall.
Yes, sir.
Hold it there.
I warned you to go away. I warned you.
What's the trouble, Sergeant?
I think it's in his head. That's where the trouble is. The neighbor downstairs said he was beating up his wife in a hall. He called in. We knocked down the door and he's been shooting through it. Now listen, I think his wife's in there. I don't want to hurt.
Yes.
I want you to go up to the roof and come down the fire escape. Don't go near the window. I just want you to sit there and see that he doesn't go out that way.
Okay, Sergeant.
Stay away from their windows until we find out what's with the wife.
I get it.
I get going. Adjust it tight there.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gerard.
Are you still there? I told you to leave.
Why don't you open the door and talk to me?
Get away from the door. Don't you touch it.
I'm not touching it. Is your wife in there with you?
She's no better than you are. The door she does is to make me trouble. She makes me trouble from the minute I wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, sometimes wives can be like that.
It's not only sometimes. She's like that all the time. All the time. You don't know what I go through. You don't have any idea. She makes me so mad. I just feel like killing her. Just like killing her.
Now, look, Mr. Gerard. It's not going to get you any place talking like that.
What's going on up there? Who is that?
Police officers, lady. Shut your door and stay inside your flat.
What?
Shut your door and stay inside your flat. This is the police.
Oh, all right.
Who is that?
A neighbor.
They're just as bad as anybody. Those neighbors don't give you a minute's peace. Not a minute's peace. And they're always taking her side. I don't like them to take her side. What's between a wife and a husband is their own affair.
Yeah, I think so.
You've got to make them respect you. Because if they don't respect you, you're just like dirt under their feet.
I wouldn't go that far, Mr. Gerard. Sometimes neighbors are good to have.
I'm not talking about neighbors. I'm talking about wives. My wife. You gotta make them respect you.
Well, look. Supposing I come in and we'll talk it over.
No. I don't want to talk it over.
Come on now, open the door.
Get away from there. I don't want to have to kill you.
Open up and we'll talk it over.
I'm warning you.
Come on.
You can't say I didn't warn you.
No, I can't say that.
It won't do you any good to count the shots I fire either, because I've got a pocket full of bullets and the gun is always loaded. And they're gonna run out of bullets. You can put that down in your book.
What's your wife doing, Mr. Gerard?
What?
What's your wife doing?
It's none of your business.
Is she in there?
Of course she's in there. Where do you think she'd be?
Sergeant?
Who is it?
You want me up there?
Post yourself down there at the front door. Keep the people out of the hall.
Okay, Sergeant.
Who are you talking to?
Another police officer.
Oh.
Is your wife close to you there?
She's right here, yes. Right here, in the living room.
I'd like to talk to her.
No, I couldn't let you do that.
Why not?
I couldn't let you do it, that's all. I'm sorry about all this. I don't like to cause anyone trouble.
All you gotta do is open the door.
But I guess I've got a good excuse. I was in the state hospital, you know.
Oh? Were you?
That's for people who are sick. A person can have a sick mind just as he can have a sick heart or a sick lung. He's ill, and he can get better. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know it.
That's exactly what the doctor told me, and I'm glad you realize it. Not many people realize that.
I want to talk to your wife, Mr. Gerard.
Why do you want to talk to her?
I just wanted to tell her not to worry. I want to tell her that you won't hurt her anymore.
What?
I want you to promise me you won't hurt her anymore.
I promise you. I give you my word of honor.
All right. Now, how about opening the door?
No, I couldn't do that. And don't you try it either. I warned you before, and I'm warning you again.
I won't try it.
You better not. You want to know what's good for you?
The only thing is I'm worried about your wife.
You don't have to worry about her. I killed her.
A minute ago, you said she was right there.
But she is right here, where I killed her.
You wouldn't do a thing like that, Mr. Gerard.
I did it. I just couldn't stand it another minute. She should have realized that I have feelings, too. After all, she can't treat me like that. Somebody's got to respect you, or you amount to nothing in this world, nothing at all. And they try to make you dig under their feet. And I'm tired of all that. There comes a day when a man has got to assert himself.
Yeah, Mr. Gerard. And this is sure your day.
You are listening to 21st Precinct, a factual account of the way police work in the world's largest city. Now back to 21st Precinct and Captain Tinelli.
Within a few minutes, a radio motor patrol car from the adjoining sector, detectives, and an emergency service car equipped with tools and tear gas responded to the scene. Men were placed on every floor of the building, on the roof, on the fire escape, and in the rear courtyard. All on the instructions of Lieutenant Matt King, commanding officer of the 21st Detective Squad. When the second call went out over the radio, I was in the office of a public dance hall on York Avenue, discussing with the manager complaints of rowdiness we had received concerning some of his patrons. The call was heard by Patrolman Farrell, who was waiting downstairs in the car. He came into the manager's office and gave me the information. I rang into the station house, and after Lieutenant Gorman, the desk officer, gave me whatever information he had, we made the run. There were now six department vehicles on the scene, and the sidewalk was crowded with curious civilians. Three men were on the job, keeping the crowd moving as I walked into the building where Patrolman Mercado was posted at the door.
Hello, Captain.
Mercado? Where's Lieutenant King? Upstairs?
No, sir. He's down here in that flat back there. He's talking to the woman who called in with the original complaint.
Okay. Yes. What about the wife?
Well, the man keeps saying he killed her.
All right. Is that where Lieutenant King is?
Yes, sir.
What's
that?
About
3 or 4 years. I couldn't say exactly.
Matt? Hello, Captain.
The landlord would know how long he's in here. Or the super.
This is Mrs. Helen Escher, Captain Kennelly.
Is this it?
How do you do?
Miss Escher, you know for a fact that he's been a patient in a mental institution?
Well, his wife told me herself, poor soul.
Where's he worked? Do you know that?
I think it's down in Wall Street someplace for an insurance company. He doesn't have much of a job, a little clerk or something like that. He was the one that brought in most of the money. He was always taking time off and being sick and things like that. Hanging out at the Bar and Grill down at the corner there. I knew something like this was going to happen. I could just feel it. No matter what he did to her, the cruelest thing even, she would brush it off and go right on being civil to him. His sickness, she said. Well, you see what loyalty got her, don't you?
Yeah, not much.
I'm telling you, he was beating her within an inch of her life on the stairs. I just couldn't stand by and see her take it like that. I just had to call the police once and for all.
Oh, all right, Miss Fletcher. Thank you.
Do you really think he murdered her in cold blood like that?
He says he did.
That man, he should have been put away long ago. Long ago. That's what she gets for trying to be loyal. I told her. She can't say I didn't tell her.
Well, we better see what we can do about him.
You be careful now. Don't let him kill you, too.
Don't try not to. Okay, Captain. Yeah.
Glad to have met you.
Thank you. All right, you two come with us. You stay down here.
All right, sir.
How many shots has he fired, ma'am?
Four, Captain.
Mikado.
Yes, sir.
You come upstairs with us.
Yes, sir.
He fired four shots. He told Sergeant Waters he had a pocket full of ammunition.
Did he shoot his wife?
We don't know how he killed her, if he did. Mikado and Sergeant Waters were here within 2 minutes after the call was put out.
Oh, I see.
Well, Captain.
Gale, Bender.
Hello.
Next floor, Captain. The couple was in their flat already. Sergeant Waters heard no shot. I don't want anybody hurt over this, Matt. I think we can take him without anybody getting hurt.
Good.
That's it. First door up there.
Stay close to the wall, Captain.
Hello, Sergeant. You men hold it there.
Okay, Lieutenant.
You've been talking to him, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Think he wants to come out now?
Given no sign of it. Mr. Gerard. Mr. Gerard.
What have you got out there? More policemen?
Look, Mr. Gerard.
And you've got policemen on the fire escape, too. You're making a big mistake, you know. You're forcing me to kill someone else. I don't want to kill anyone else. It's going to be your fault. Everything's going to be your fault.
Well, how about unlocking this door and coming out? Then no one else will get hurt.
You know I'm not going to do that.
You have to do it if you want to get your wife to the hospital.
I didn't say I wanted anything like that. My wife is dead. No use taking her to the hospital. You better go away. Leave me alone.
Captain. Yeah.
He wasn't kidding. I see all four shots came through the door.
Yeah, he meant it all right. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Come here a second.
Okay, Lieutenant. Keep your eye on the door, Mikado. Yes, sir. I'm getting a little impatient with this guy.
Well, that's better than getting shot.
Yes, sir, sure is.
How much do you think it would take to kick that door in, Sergeant?
Not much, Lieutenant. One good boot at the lock. Unless he has an extra bolt on it or a chain.
Yeah.
Well, what's he going to do while I'm kicking the door in?
I was thinking about having the ESD men crack that window from the fire escape, dropping a gas shell in there. If he does any shooting, it'd be toward the fire escape. We could have the door open in the meantime.
Sounds all right, Lieutenant. When he starts shooting, how am I supposed to know whether he's shooting toward the door or toward the window?
No. What do you think about the wife? Think she's dead in there?
He keeps saying she is. I believe him.
Let's go up to the roof, take a look at the situation on the fire escape. Okay, Captain?
Yeah, sure.
You better get back on the door, Sergeant. If he talks, I want him to talk to you.
Okay, Lieutenant.
All right, Captain. All right. Guys can be a lot more trouble than a red-hot gunman.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about hurting a gunman, Matt. And you know you have to take a chance. That's the only way.
Mm. That fellow sure is full of fight.
Yeah, I guess he is.
You mind keeping those people behind the doors?
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Tell me, how long was he confined, Matt, do you know?
Best information we can get, he was up there nearly 4 years.
Why'd they let him out?
That's the first question I'm going to ask. Now watch it. Big step down onto the roof.
Yeah.
Back that way.
The window of the room he's in opens onto the fire escape, hmm?
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe we'll be able to work it.
I think so, Captain. Now watch it here.
Yeah. I'll go first.
You've got a blank brick wall facing this building. Wild shots won't hurt anyone.
No.
Who's down there?
There's Coley, DeLuca, and two emergency service men.
Are you staying away from the window?
Yes, sir. This is far enough, Captain.
Coley?
Yes, sir?
Come on up here a minute.
Yes, sir?
Have they been able to get a look into the room from the window, Matt?
He's got the shade drawn down to the bottom. The window's locked.
Oh, I see.
The only thing they can see is that there's a light on in there. Nothing else.
Yes, sir. Hello, Captain.
Coley, what's the situation?
No change, Lieutenant.
Hmm. All right, we're going to try something in a few minutes.
Yes, sir?
We're going to drop a couple of gas shells through the window. In the meantime, the front door will get kicked in.
Okay, Lieutenant, fine. It's getting pretty cold out here.
Here's how we're going to do it. One ESD man down there has a crowbar. The other one's got the tear gas.
Yes, sir?
All right, now we'll use the crowbar to knock out the window and drop a shell in. As soon as it takes effect, we'll hit the front door.
Yes, sir. And I want everybody out here to stay undercover. You'll probably be shooting this way. Don't try to come in the window. Not until you're sure he's under control. I don't want any dead heroes.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I'm back down there, Coley. I'll let you know when we're ready.
Right, sir. I'll be here.
Okay, Matt.
You know the work.
Yeah. I think I ought to stay out here with these men. You handle the situation in the hall. Is that all right, Captain?
Okay.
Gonna take pretty close timing.
Well, I think all you have to do is know we're set before you break the glass. I'll send a man up to pass the word, okay?
Okay.
All right, Matt, I'll see you.
Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt.
Got to be fast.
It will be.
Okay.
Coming down, Mercado.
Meister rang into the house, sir. Lieutenant Gorman told him to tell you that Inspector McBride is on his way. Oh, and the PC has been notified.
It'll probably be all over by the time they get here. Anything doing in there, Sergeant?
I had a couple of words with him, that's all. Nothing new, Captain.
Well, okay, here's the story.
Yes, sir.
When they break the window on the fire escape and drop in a tear gas shell, we'll kick in the door. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I guess it's got to be okay. You think right about at the lock ought to do the trick?
Hmm? Yes, sir, that ought to do it.
Unless, like I said, he's got a slide bolt with a chain on there, too.
All right. You talk to him. See if he's still at the door.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gerard. Mr. Gerard.
What is it?
Don't you think we've been out here long enough now? How about opening the door and talking to it?
I'm talking to you.
But this can go on all night, you know.
Marcano.
Yes, sir?
We don't want
to
be
go on up to the roof. Tell Lieutenant King we're set anytime he's ready.
Now,
go
what
on.
Do you say?
Yes, sir.
Now, how about it? We've been at this long enough, and so have you.
No, not me. I'm going to stay here forever. Forever.
That's a long time.
I know it. I know it's an awful long time, but I'm going to stay here.
Okay. So can we.
That's your business.
Get set, Sergeant. Yes, sir. I'm set. I'll wait for the glass.
All you have to do is go away and leave me alone. I'm not bothering you. I don't bother anyone. No one at all. Just go away. That's all you have to do.
There it goes.
Get away from there.
Hold it.
Get away! I'll kill you!
Not yet.
What are you doing? What's that?
Hold it, yeah.
What are you doing to me? Get that out of here! Get in the house! What are you doing?
Okay,
I want
it!
Yeah.
Hit it again. All right. There he is, grab it.
You didn't have to do it.
Okay, this is good.
You could have just let me alone.
All I wanted was a little peace, that's all. Just a little peace.
I guess she's dead, all right, Captain.
Of course she's dead. That's what I've been telling you. Can't anyone believe me? Not even when I'm telling the truth.
All right, Mr. Gerard.
They don't believe me. And they don't respect me. Nobody. Nobody at all. But what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do.
You don't have to worry about what you're going to do, Mr. Gerard. It'll all be done for you.
Any first precinct, Sergeant Waters. Yeah? How'd they break in? Yeah? Yeah. Now what's missing? Oh, yeah? Well, what's the name of the owner there? Oh, he does, huh? Is CB putting out a call on it? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me know about that. Okay. I'll notify the detectives and let you know. Yeah. All right.
And so it goes. Around the clock, through the week, every day, every year. A police precinct in the city of New York is a flesh and blood merry-go-round. Anyone can catch the brass ring. Or the brass ring can catch anyone.
21st Precinct, a factual account of the way the police work in the world's largest city, is presented with the official cooperation of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, an organization of more than 20,000 members of the Police Department, City of New York. Everett Sloan in the role of Captain Kennelly, Ken Lynch as Lieutenant King, Harold Stone as Sergeant Waters. Featured in tonight's cast were Ethel Everett, Frank Marth, Bill Quinn, and Eric Dressler. Written and directed by Stanley Niss. Produced for CBS Radio by John Ives. Art Hanna speaking.
That does it for Case Closed this week. If you want to find more from Jeff Regan, 21st Precinct, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio, visit the website at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there as well, and you can donate through the website. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can also visit donate.relicradio.com. A little shortcut gets you to the donate page. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of old-time radio crime on Case Closed.